KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And want to be gardeners and should be gardeners, and you don't want to be gardeners. If you got bored and you said, well, let's tune into that Mike Winters show and see what he's got to say. Well, you know, I try to make it interesting each week, and I thank you for listening if you are listening. And if you do have a question, even though I'm on a totally different subject, all you have to do is interrupt at 673-4464. Ask your question. We'll try to solve your problem and get you going in the right direction so that your tree, shrub, or lawn doesn't just turn over and die, okay?
We don't want that.
No, we don't want that, you know. And today's a little bit different. It has to do with gardens directly and probably indirectly. I'm going to talk about bees, honeybees. And what got my attention on the honeybees, I was wondering how the fires and all the smoke were affecting the honeybee population. And especially in California and the Central Valley, where they seemed to have much more fire activity than we did, and we had a lot, but it seemed like, you know, they had 55 fires going or something.
It's horrible at the
same time.
Yeah.
And you know, you wonder, well, how is the wildlife surviving? What's this? And then, bingo, I thought about bees. You know, how do they survive in this thing? Or other insects. But the honeybees, you know, honeybees are essential to our survival. They are the main pollinators of fruits, vegetables, and all kinds of things. And we depend on those little critters that fly around to make sure that the crops are good and the crops come in every year. And, you know, they're without the bees, crops don't make the very food that we eat. Without the bees, there's a little pollination going on. Other insects, butterflies, and those kinds of things also are pollinizers, but they are not like the honeybees. The honeybees, it's like their main deal is to make honey. And how do they make honey? They take the pollen from one plant and take another bunch of pollen from another plant, fly back to the hive, make the honey, and go back and get some more. I mean, and that's their job, and that's what they do. But like I say, other flying insects will do that, but they don't make honey. And honey is
essential,
absolutely essential. And like I said, the recent wildfires.
I've done the same thing.
Oh, man. That's a hard word.
Yes, it is.
In California, destroyed thousands of beehives in the Central Valley of California. Now, the Central Valley is like, say, around from Sacramento down to about Bakersfield. And it's like the breadbasket of the United States, for crying out loud. I mean, they grow every crop known to man down there because the weather is good. The ground is flat for the most part, and it's a lot of acres. And I remember going up through there when I was a little kid when we were moving north, and I was amazed. It was on old Highway 99 before I-5, so you know how old I am. And looking at all the farms and all the orchards, and there was cotton and there was fruit trees and miles and miles. I mean, for 2 days, we had an old car and it went slow. And so for 2 days, we drove up through this huge, huge valley. And I was really impressed, like I was a third grader at that time. So I was really impressed with how much was out there. Never did I think I would be speaking. What?
We got a phone call.
We got a phone call already? Good.
All right. Here we roll. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi there. I just called to tell you that you're not coming through.
I'm not coming through.
No, my radio went dead on your station.
The radio went dead. We got all the buttons pushed.
Oh, now it's on.
Now it's on. Huh.
Okay.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that call.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Nobody heard anything I just said?
Yeah, they did if they were on the stream.
On the stream. Okay. Well, whatever that is.
It's one of those computer things.
Oh, well, I thought you were talking about the North Umpqua or something. Okay. But I'll back up a little bit and say it again for this gentleman's delight. The recent wildfires in California destroyed thousands of beehives in the Central Valley. And one farmer, and there's a paper, a weekly paper called the Capital Press, and it's all agricultural activities in California, Oregon, Washington, and Idaho. And it tells you what's happening and that kind of thing. And actually, there's a lot of news in it, but it's mainly, you know, are we going to eat this next year? Are the farmers doing okay? Do they have enough water? That kind of thing. So the article I read in it this past week was about the bees and how much the fires in California have destroyed so many hives. One farmer lost 5,000 beehives on his property due to smoke and fire. I don't know if it didn't say that the fire whipped through there, but it probably did if it destroyed 5,000 hives. And there was another one, and I thought they said he had 500,000 hives here. I mean, he was in the pollinating business. I mean, that's the kind of guy that outfit that goes from ranch to ranch and farm to farm and rents out the bees and they do their job, and then he goes back and picks them up. How they go back and pick them up, I have no idea. But, mm-hmm. you know, they're flying around doing their thing.
Right.
And that's vital to the food crops in the Central Valley and in anywhere else that you're growing food, even here in the Willamette Valley in Oregon, in our backyard in Roseburg.
Sure.
It's without those critters flitting around from plant to plant, there's just no fruit production. So it's very, 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 very interesting. And what I thought next was, well, what is next spring and summer going to be like as far as vegetable production, mm. if there's that many bees that have been lost?
Yeah.
And will vegetables be very expensive or in short supply or both? And so you might think along those lines and prepare for next spring. They may recuperate, they may come back like gangbusters and still be doing their thing. But it's not only fires that have had an impact on bee mm-hmm. Colonies.
Seems like everything else has.
Yeah, right. But in the South, yeah. you know, Louisiana, mm. Texas, where all the hurricanes are hitting and the flooding
oh,
is hitting.
Sure.
And the farms are on flatlands.
Oh, yeah.
And they're usually on the delta of like the Mississippi Delta and other rivers in there, because mm-hmm. that's the most productive ground in which to grow crop. And, you know, they also need the bees to pollinate their crops there. So that's a good portion of the south, southeast corridor that has probably experienced, you know, some loss of honeybees, as yeah. well as almost the entire Pacific Northwest. So, you know, it's just something to think about. I don't mean to alarm anybody, but these natural events.
Did your bees survive?
Pardon me?
I thought you had some beehives.
Yeah, well, they left the hive.
They did?
Yeah, last year they left the hive. I had them. Huh. They were doing good. I went out there to check them one day, and there weren't any.
They're gone.
Yeah, and the guy that helped me get started years ago, he says, sometimes the queen says, hey, we're out of here, and she wants to leave, and they all follow her wherever they go. And I don't know if it was... I don't know what was caused from, because I found no dead bees there. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it was a disease or you know, a fungus or something, that
you would have
seen dead bees laying
right.
around, because
right.
but I didn't see any of that. So,
well, when a woman makes up her mind,
we're out of here, boys. Follow me. We're going down by the river where it's a whole lot cooler.
We're gone.
We're gone. Yeah. But you know, so how can we help to entice bees to our own gardens? And some folks just kind of flip out. Oh, there's a bee. Yeah, and start swatting and all that. But honeybees are not, they're not like yellow jackets or hornets.
They're not as aggressive.
No, they're not aggressive toward people unless people flip out and start waving their hands and screaming at them and swinging things at them. Then they, you know, they react.
Right.
But, you know, you can have a bee walking up your arm and it won't sting you. I mean, it's just.
That would freak me out.
Well, though. but really, they don't sting, because if they sting, they die. They lose their stinger, they're dead. So,
they seem to know that.
Yeah, and so why should I waste my stinger on you? You know,
you're just
some old guy sitting out here in a Radio Shack, you know,
flapping his gums.
Yeah. Oh gosh. So how do we get the bees to our garden? Well, you plant a lot of flowers to attract them. They like color. They like flowers. That's what they're meant for. They go from flower to flower and do the pollination thing and take the pollen out, take it back to their hive, and they produce honey. There's the worker bees. There's the flying around bees. There's the queen bee. I don't know all the bees, but you know, that's the basics. But you know, you can plant these flowers right in your veggie garden. You know, if you put the more the better. And so you got a row of tomatoes that's say 15 feet long. Well, between each tomato, plant some flowers. I did that one year at the nursery. I had all the tomatoes that are left over and peppers and things like that.
Yeah.
That you know, the season's getting a little late and everybody's pretty much got their stuff, but I still got, you know, two or three flats left of stuff. So I don't waste them. I put them out there in my field, or we pot them up. And what I did one year, I planted marigolds in between each of the plants for about a 100-foot row.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, a tomato and a marigold, pepper and a marigold, that kind of thing. And we had so stinking many tomatoes and peppers, we gave them away by the sackfuls.
Oh, wow.
When people would come into the nursery, because we had all that we could eat. And, you know, and all my kids did. And, you know, the my guys that worked for me had all they wanted. No more. I don't want no more tomatoes. Thank you.
And that's a cheap way to do it.
Oh, yes.
I mean, marigolds aren't that expensive,
no,
are they?
No, yeah. You just put them little buggers in there, and they don't take a whole lot of care. And I got irrigation out there. So
yeah.
I was watering, you know, maybe once a week, twice a week at the most. And they just,
perfect.
Boom. And that brings the bees in. Anytime you got color, anytime you got flowers, they're there, they're ready to go.
Here we come, Bertha.
Yeah, here we come. So when you pull them right in your, you know, garden itself, you know, maybe a row of this and a row of that, and there's some flowers they're more attracted to, and I'll get into that a little bit later. But anyway, the more you do, the better it's going to be. Now think about this: 60% of fruits and vegetables we rely on to feed our families need honeybee pollination.
Mm.
60% need that. And the value of honeybee population in agriculture in the USA, now this is where the guys that lost their hives I was talking about, they rent their bees out for, you know, a week or a month or whatever to different big farms and ranches.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a value to that because they rent them out. Well, that value as of last year is a $14 billion business.
That's
renting honeybees out for pollination.
Isn't that something?
$14 billion.
Is that a little drop in the bucket?
Yeah, just a drop or two, yeah. And the other great thing about bees is honey, of course. And mm-hmm. honey is one of the best natural healing products that has been around for thousands of years, you know. Honey has antibacterial properties and is used to prevent infection of cuts and burns. When my kids were small, they get burned or they get even stung. My wife would put honey on their burn,
mm-hmm.
and it would heal so much more quickly. And actually, some of the pain would be taken away.
Got
too.
It, yeah.
Rather than some kind of thing you spray out of a can or, you know, drop it out of a bottle or something like that. But honey has that ability to heal. I don't know what the chemical compounds and the formula are that make that happen. I'm sure that if I researched it more,
you could find it.
I could find that too.
Is this a good time for a break?
You bet. You bet.
All right, more honey on the way.
Honey, come
on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, we're talking Texas.
Yeah, we were. And for a guy that's never been to Texas before, I had to tell him all I knew.
Yeah. I thought it was all flat and desert, but I was wrong.
No, you were wrong. You were totally wrong. Anyway, I'm talking about honey today and bees and those kinds of things. Honeybees are, you know, vital to our very survival, as I said initially. And, you know, like it's a good thing to put on burns and cuts and helps the healing process. And honey tastes great. and it's used in food and drinks and is totally natural. So you folks out there that are concerned about natural products, man-made products, honey is one of the most natural products that you can get and use in your cooking.
Can't really go wrong with that.
No, you can't. And it's sweeter than sugar per proportion. Yeah, so you can use less honey than sugar to sweeten your drinks or your food. And in baking, honey helps baked goods stay fresher and moister longer than if you use just sugar. I had no clue.
I didn't either. Yeah.
And it gives baked goods kind of a warm golden color, like if you're baking bread or rolls or, you know, something like that. And so I'm going to start paying attention to that because my wife uses honey when she bakes a lot.
I know the honey rolls are good.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Delicious. Yeah. Now, if you want to have a hive or two in your backyard, you'll have a lifetime supply of that honey and thousands of pollinators to do their gardening projects for you and the neighbors as well. And they range far and wide. They'll go, I don't know how many miles away just to do their thing and come back to your hive and make some honey for you.
Until the queen bee says no more.
Yeah, and the queen bee says, okay, guys, that's it. We're going to another neighborhood. But, however, before you start your beekeeping, make sure you're in the neighborhood. Make sure your local government, like city or county, doesn't have a law against bees in your yard because they would attack the neighbors or something like that. And you know, I don't think that they would, but some people are kind of persnickety about having a beehive next door to them, and they go, hey, there's bees are here. But the best way to start a hive is to connect with, like, a local farmer and ask for a tour. You know, he's got honeybees. You know, our farmers here do.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah. There's hives, you know, at Cruz's, Brosi, at any of the small farms. Cruz is not small.
I was going to say, some of them aren't so small.
No, nor is Brosi, actually, because they got stuff all over. But they all have hives. And because when you have hives and you have active bees there, your crop is so much better. It's so much bigger. It's just better.
Natural.
It's great all the way around. And the more bees you get, the better the crop it is. That's what they tell me.
Are you going to get more bees? Or?
I am. I want to, but I'm going to move them out to my house where it's a little more shady. See, at my field there in the back of the nursery, it's in sun. I put them by an apple tree. I got a little apple orchard there. Mm-hmm. And I put them by the apple tree thinking, well, they'll get shade in the afternoon and the water's right there. Because they if they're out in the hot sun, I don't know, maybe it's okay. But for some reason, like I said, they disappeared. They were doing great and then, boom, they were gone. Huh. So they said, we're out of here. Mike doesn't take care of us good enough.
I bet you had a lot of apples.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Lots of fruit, and it works. But, you know, if you want to get started, you ask a local farmer or get on your internet thingy and see who in Douglas County has got beehives.
That machine there.
Yeah, that little machine there, not a flip phone like I got. But see who's got hives, who's actually using them and actually knows what's going on. And if no farmers are close, you can get on the internet and you'll find all you need to know, except there's nothing to touch there. They're just pictures. There's nothing like the real thing that will give you much more information.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can see the operation and actually experience it and
better understand it.
Exactly. I met a doctor out in Garden Valley a few years back, who had about 15 hives in his yard.
Wow.
And he had about a couple of acres, and then there were other houses around, but sufficient area for the bees not to bug everybody.
Yeah.
And but he had 15 hives in his yard. I was there to give him a bid on his landscaping project. And so he gave me a basic education on beekeeping. And he had right behind his house, he had his hives. Here was his house. It was about 10 foot up space, and then it was about 15 hives full of bees. And so we're walking around the back of his house, and I spotted the beehives, and I says, are they live with bees? He says, oh, yeah. He says, don't walk in back of them. Walk over here. Go in front of them. Don't do anything.
They got to see what's going on.
Yeah. If you walk behind them, there was the wall of the house and the bee hives that were pretty close. I don't know. They react to that.
Huh.
Yeah. I got quite an education from him. Really neat guy. I did some landscaping projects for him, built him a pond and a few other things. And so he gave me my first hive. And he said, yeah, we'll put one out there at the nursery. So we put one out in the shade at the nursery. And I had that for, probably two years. And it worked really well. We got honey out of it, and just fresh right out of the hive. And there's a little processing that you have to do, but it was great. And then he was moving away. He got a job down in the Sacramento area at another hospital, and he and his wife were both doctors. And so he gave me another hive to continue, and that's the ones that escaped on me.
They wanted.
Maybe they went to Sacramento.
Yeah, they went to see.
maybe they followed him. And the interesting thing, I said, well, because he was new to our area. I said, where'd you come from? He said, Pennsylvania. I said, did the bees come from Pennsylvania? He says, yeah. I said, how'd you get them here?
Yeah.
He said, I put them on a trailer and covered them with a tarp and drove across country. And I said, and they survived? He said, oh, yeah, not a problem. They just stayed in the box. And, maybe a few of them escaped. I don't know. But he covered it with a tarp and drove them all the way across the country.
Isn't that something?
Pennsylvania to Oregon,
We'll just stay right here.
Yeah, right. Well, we're home. I feel the bumps and the hum from the road. But anyway, we became great friends over time. And he came up a few months back. To visit some relatives and stuff like that. So we stopped by the nursery and we had a good chat. And I told him my bees escaped, and he said, well, you want me to set you up again? I said, not until I find out what's going on. And I want to make sure that I got the right stuff. I don't want to lose them again. The cool thing is I was never stung, never been stung. And you move slowly. And when you're inspecting the hive, and when the bees are active, you can actually open the hive, the top it's compressed down,
right.
And you take a knife or a heavy duty screwdriver and just pry off the lid, and you lift the lid, and there's all the honey cones, if you will, little slats that go down there, and you can they're operating, man. They're just doing their thing, and it's just lots of activity. And
jeez.
And one hive, you can have up to 30,000 bees in one hive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez. That's a lot.
That's a lot of bees. And he showed me one day on my hive. He says, well, there's the queen. I says, which one's the queen, for crying out loud?
Yeah.
He says, well, see that one? And he kind of pointed with a pencil or something. He says, that one is a little bit bigger. A little bit bigger, and it's just down there well protected with, because they have guards. They have guard beads that guard the queen. I mean, that's their only job.
Oh.
And those guard bees, they also guard the nest, and they just kind of hang around the nest. They don't do anything else except guard the place. Mm-hmm. So no predators come in. If they do, they're toast.
They're gone.
They're toast without honey. Yeah.
No honey for you.
No honey for you, bye-bye. And, but, the whole thing is you move slowly. You don't get excited. You don't talk loudly. You shouldn't talk at all. But I'm no expert. But I've learned the basics so far, and I'm anxious to get back into it. But I gotta find out, you know, why in the world did this happen?
How would you find out what? How?
Well, I have to find somebody else around here that's, you know, knowledgeable on their beehives. So if there's anybody out there listening, hopefully they would call Wintergreen Nursery, talk to me about it, or call the station and talk to me about it. I'd love to, you know, catch up with them and say, okay, this is what happened. What did I do?
Get some ideas whatever.
You know, how can this not happen again? Mm-hmm. You know, one interesting thing, years ago, I was out where I live, out in the boondocks there, and I was on the porch, and I heard this very loud hum, and I thought, what in the world?
Yeah.
I thought there was a car coming or something up the road, and I looked out, and there was this mass of bees in a swarm, tight ball, and they must have been, oh gosh, 3, maybe 4 feet long, and about a foot and a half, maybe 2 feet wide.
Jeez.
And they were all, and they were moving through my valley. And that's how they
just
moved.
Moving. They
They were just in a ball. You couldn't. I mean, it was a ball of bees, a huge, gigantic mass of bees, and they were cruising through looking for a new home. See, that queen says, "Hey, let's go find us a new place. We need a bigger house, man."
So that's the.
So they were looking for an old rotted tree that was hollow or something like that, because that's where you'll find them in nature too. Is there's an old oak or an old madrone that's
plenty of room.
Yeah, plenty of room, and it's hollowed out in the center, and that's where they go. And that's where the natural ones are.
A lot of protection.
Oh yeah. We got another.
Yep. We have another break. Break number two.
Okay.
More of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show in just a bit, right here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And we are back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show for another Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, and we're talking bees.
We are talking bees.
How good they are, et cetera. And if you have a question, 673-4464.
And have some people blast them out of an oak tree.
Yeah, don't repeat that story on the air. But I'll give you a story here.
Okay.
When I was about 15, we lived on a big chicken ranch, and we were surrounded by alfalfa fields, and all of these fields had hives for pollination in their alfalfa, and for honey production. And so one day, a flatbed semi pulled up to our place and asked if I would help them load honey hives for $5 an hour. Well, this is way back in the 60s.
That was big money then.
That was big money, yeah. And that seemed like a fortune to me. So I said, you bet, $5 an hour in cash? Oh, okay. So I got in a truck with them, and we drove down to the next ranch, which is about half a mile away, quarter mile away, something like that. And there was about 100 hives in a line along the alfalfa field. And there were 3 boxes high. So there were 3 stacked boxes. And the honey was in the bottom box.
Of course.
It's always in the bottom box. And so you have to take the 2 top boxes and set them aside, and then carry the honey box to the flatbed. And there's a guy in the flatbed, and you got to lift this box full of honey.
Oh,
and
God.
They weigh about 90 pounds. But I was 15. I was strong. I was a bull. No problem.
No back problems.
No back problems. So what? I had 1 in each hand. But you know. And but at first, they dressed me up in one of those bee suits.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like a spaceman. And you got gloves and all that kind of stuff, and you're covered and all that. And then there's a screen. You got this hood on, and there's a screen right there in front of your, you can see through it and breathe through it. It's just a small screen that will fit. And they said, whatever you do, don't spit. I said, okay, don't spit. Well, it was like 100 degrees out there, and you know we're loading these boxes, and this thing's about 3 inches from my face, and bees all—I mean a billion bees, I swear—and like I say, the temperature was a cool 100 degrees, and inside this suit it had to be 120, and the sweat is just pouring out of me and getting in my eyes, and I mean I'm saturated inside the suit, but I've got to pick up these boxes, carry them over to the truck. The truck was only about 20 feet away. But still, you had to lift them up into the flatbed, and the guy that was on the truck, he was stacking the boxes. And there was, I think, two of us. Yeah, there was just two of us loading.
Loading.
And and so we did that. And the sweat, like I said, it took about 3 hours to do the whole shooting
match.
That's
a lot of boxes.
A lot of boxes and a lot of weight, and it's very, very tiresome. And like I said, it was probably 120 inside this bee suit. And sweat's pouring into my eyes. And then I spaced out for a minute, and I had to clear my throat, so I spit.
Uh-oh.
And then I found out why you're not supposed to spit when you've got this face mask on, because all the spit was right in front of my eyes, 3 inches away from me, you know, because it doesn't go through the screen.
The screen
is a very tight mesh, like a screen door. Yeah, and try spitting through a screen door, see what happens.
Yeah.
It all sticks right there. So this is right there in front of my eyes, and both these guys start laughing. We told you not to spit, boy. And I said, well.
You dummy.
I forgot. Oh, jeez. And I found out about that very quick it was probably 2 hours worth of looking at that. And so finally we get the truck loaded and we took off our bee suits very carefully. But there's still thousands of bees flying all over.
They're ticked.
And because you got their honey box, and so there's some in the honey box, and then you've upset a bunch of them. So they're buzzing all over the place, and you slowly take off the mask and the headgear and the suit, and they're landing on your arms and everything, but they're just walking. They're not doing anything to you. They're not stinging you. They're just walking around on you. and you really,
scary.
Yeah, it freaks you out, man, especially when you're 15. But these guys did this for a living, you know, so it didn't bother them.
They're used to it.
They're used to it, so big deal. We're okay. then we drive down, we get in the truck, and I'm sitting in the middle. It's an old truck, and they're driving me back to my place. There's bees all in the cab, flying in and out. There's bees everywhere, and I'm sitting as still as I can, holding my breath, not blinking my eyes, nothing. And like I said, the bees on the dashboard, the windshield, they're on our clothes, they're on our eyes, but... And we're going to the highway, the paved road, and the guy driving is turning the truck, and I guess a bee got in his eye or close to his eye, and he swatted at it, and they stung him.
Oh.
Here's the driver that told me, don't move, and I'm sitting there petrified. He's driving me up to my house. I got my $15 for my 3 hours of work, and I jumped out of that truck.
Got the heck out of there.
Oh, yeah. And you know, when you're trying to drive and there's a bee in your eye. He just kind of
natural.
He didn't try to kill it. He just tried to swat it out of the way. But that was enough to irritate the bee.
He didn't like it.
And that bee, you know, he went after him. And he was like, okay. So.
And he still drove?
Oh, yeah. He had to or we would have crashed. I mean, you crash with a load of bees, man. You're
in trouble.
Yeah, you're in big trouble, man. Oh, gosh. So, anyway, earlier I was speaking about, you know, planting flowers to attract bees to your garden. Okay,
yeah,
so I got a few here, a list of favorite bee flowers, okay?
Besides marigolds.
Any flower will do, but these in the book here... they listed a couple of pages of them, and I picked out some that, you know, we have that are common to our area and that you can readily obtain. And so I wrote these down. Oh, and weeds. There are weeds also that attract bees. Or, you know, we got weeds out here with flowers on them all the time. You know, we're trying to spray them with Roundup to get rid of them in people's yards, but bees use them to take their pollen and make honey out of them.
Like those stinking dandelions?
Exactly. And that is number one on the list of what bees like for natural weeds.
Mighty.
They love them. That and clover.
Clover?
Yeah, clover has a little tiny white flower.
Oh.
It's, you know, right next to the ground.
Yeah.
But bees do love the clover, and they love the dandelions. I don't know.
Well, at least somebody likes them.
Yeah. So I'm not going to spray any more weeds ever again.
Yeah.
When people call me and say, hey, we got to get rid of the weeds in my yard, Michael said, can't do. That's bee food. But clover, goldenrod, and those are, you know, just some. But if you plant them, try also some asters, some sunflowers, mint, and poppies. You know the California poppies, those yellow flowers that grow all over the place?
Yeah.
Bees love them. Bees love them. And they're great.
And they're all over the place.
They're all over the place. They grow in ditches. They grow on the streams. They grow in your yard. Wherever you don't want them, they're growing.
They're there.
And when one starts, hey, there's pretty soon there's 400 of them.
Just like blackberries.
Yeah, but they don't. They don't have stickers, you know.
No.
And they are pretty. They do bloom.
They do have a purpose.
Yeah. But they really love those puppies. So, and asters. And, you know, asters, okay. You know, asters and aster. But I didn't know when I was looking it up that there are 100 different species of asters.
Jesus.
And I went, 100 different species of asters? You know, I didn't list them all, thankfully. But, you know, I had no clue. You know, asters, some asters in the nursery, and you got, you know, maybe two kinds or something like that, a white and a pink or a white and a purple or something like that, and 100 different species of asters, okay? And some are kind of wild, like weeds, and then there's some you can buy at a nursery. And I didn't know, I'm going to have to do some more research on finding out, you know, which ones do what. But they're perennial, so they come back every spring, and the California poppy comes back every spring. All these that I'm talking about, they're perennial, so they come back every spring, and so there's a good supply of bee food running around. But sunflowers, they love sunflowers, and they provide bees with pollen and nectar. And I thought, well, okay. I'm not real sharp on this, but what, you know, where's the nectar come from? But I'll find that out some other time. But sunflowers are very easy to grow, and they add a lot of color to your garden. And
they're kind of like a weed too, aren't they? I mean,
well, some of them are. Some of the shorter varieties see. But, you know, the long, tall ones that you see on farms and stuff like that, or in somebody's yard. I mean, there's folks in Roseburg that plant them in their garden, or and they're cool. When you're at the nursery, I probably planted about 50 of them out in my field just because I had the seed. It was outrageous. They were the tall 7-footers, you know, and the heads on the sunflower are like a foot to 18 inches wide and across. They were nuts. And one year when
that's
we lived,
a lot of seeds.
Tons of seeds. But those bees love them, and I guess that's why the honey is a medicinal type of product that will help. And you put on cuts and burns, you eat it, and it keeps you healthy, because the different flowers are full of nutrition and different types of nutrients.
Right.
And that combination of things goes into the honey that they make. And so consequently, we get the best of all worlds when we do that.
In one place.
Yeah, in one place. So do we have another commercial before we go?
We do.
Okay.
We can do it. All right, our final break. And we're on the home stretch. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show next on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, it's getting near 5 o'clock. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on the air. So we're still rolling, Mike.
We're still rolling. Okay, I've been talking about bees and how good they are and how much we need them. And the more bees, the merrier, I guess.
Yeah, that's pretty much the theme.
Yeah, and I was talking about the different types of flowers that are good bee attractors. And there's wild weeds that grow out there that they love, like the California poppy and clover and those mm-hmm. kinds of things. And or you can buy flowers at a nursery or a garden store of some sort. But the flowers that I mentioned are perennial. So like I say, they come back every spring. So the bees know they're back. And the bees know that they're there and they'll be back. Now, sunflowers, of course, again, those are really a favorite of the bees, and they go there for the pollen and the nectar. And sunflowers are probably one of the easiest things to grow. I mean, they're like a giant weed and add color to your garden. And one year, just for the heck of it, when I lived in Roseburg, we had a small garden at our house, and my wife planted a row of sunflowers. And I happened to see on the market a package of giant sunflowers. So I planted that row right next to her row, and I didn't tell her. So all the sunflowers, they come up, and hers get to be, oh gosh, 6 feet, mm-hmm. maybe 6.5 feet. Yeah. And the ones I planted just continue to grow.
Uh-oh.
They went up to 12 feet, 10, 12 feet. They were giants. They had stalks like trees.
Oh, geez.
And my friends knew about it because I told my friends about it, and they'd come over and say, "Wow, Marianne, you can really grow a lot of sunflowers. Those guys are really big." And she said, "I can't figure it out. I planted them all the same way." And everybody would laugh. And so we did that until the season was over, and then I told her I had planted giant sunflower seeds right next to her row. Yeah, she took it well.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, I mean, she only hit me about 6 times with the axe handle, but other than
yeah.
that,
you she survived.
Said, "Everybody knew but me." I said, "Well, that's the joke, honey."
Yeah, well, she enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, it was fun. But also on flower, lots of mints. There are mint plants that are available, and they have lots of color, and there's a lot of sizes and flavors. Mints have flavors.
Like, oh, absolutely.
Chocolate, spearmint.
Peppermint.
Peppermint and a few others. And I don't know if that flavors the honey. If you had a big mint field, would the bees go and use that to bring back the pollen and make honey out of that? Would that flavor the honey?
Be a peppermint honey?
Yeah, it could be a natural peppermint honey. I gotta find an expert out there that can tell me. Maybe I'll call my buddy in Sacramento and
there
find out
yeah.
if he does. And they bloom late in the year, but the bees will still find them. And they're easy to grow, and they spread very quickly. You don't have to do anything to them. They just spread. So you better want them. And the poppies, they're perennial, of course. You plant mm-hmm. one, and then you got 25, and then the next year you got 400. And they spread without any help from people.
They find buddies.
Yeah, they get buddies, and they just take over an area. And they're so tough, they grow out of rock, for crying out loud. They grow out of cut banks. They grow along creeks. They grow, you know, they grow anywhere. You can spot the orange California poppy along all kinds of roads. And, again, nobody's taking care of them. They're just growing.
Mm-hmm.
And they bloom from early summer to fall and need full sun. That's the only thing they need. They don't need water. They don't need care. And of course, bees like them for their pollen source. And apparently they have a good source of pollen. Maybe it's, you know, a special kind of pollen. I don't know.
Something they need. Or
yeah. Yeah. But there's no end to flowers to plant. And bees seem to like them all. And the great thing with a variety of flowers, the bees can work from early in the spring, early spring to mid-spring, through the summer and into the fall.
Mm.
Because a lot of perennials, they just bloom, start early, and a lot of them bloom almost all the entire year. So you've got those bees working all the time, and the more they work, the more honey they make. So
makes sense.
Yeah. And, you know, by the way, one good hive in your yard is going to give you all the honey you actually need for your family, at least. And if
you've
got two good hives, you can feed the neighborhood, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so then maybe they won't complain about the bees.
No, they wouldn't. but, you know, people don't understand bees. And when they look at honeybees, and I'm guilty of this, you know, you kind of swat them away and go, "Oh, man, that's a honeybee. I shouldn't have swatted at it."
Right.
But, you know, you got the stupid yellow jackets that seem to attack you.
They don't like us.
No, they don't like us at all, and they hurt. They hurt really bad.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, I was down sniffing a flower one day in my one of my flower beds, in a kind of raised bed in the back of my yard, and I was looking real close to see, you know, what was happening, and apparently there was a yellow jacket in there, and he came up and bit me right on the lip.
They're mean suckers.
Right on the lip, and fortunately, I was able to crush him to death real soon, and I went into the house, and already the pain, and and I put baking soda on it, and that took the pain away and kept the swelling to a normal. My lips didn't triple in size.
Yeah, but, you still talk.
I can still make words and stuff come out. You know?
What good are those yellow jackets? What are
they eat dead stuff and bite people.
That's true. I've seen them on dead.
Yeah. There's a dead snake or a lizard or a rabbit or whatever. They're a carnivore. They love to eat meat and. We have yellow jacket traps hanging in our trees all over the place, but there's still a bunch of them.
Oh, yeah, you can't get rid of them.
No. Pretty soon, you know, you get into August and September, and, you know, Stu Robertson that was bit at a picnic years ago, mm-hmm. and it killed him. But, you know, he was at a family pickup. I think it was a Labor Day weekend, and yellow jacket bit him, and he died.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it happens. That's how, you know, I don't know what it did. The honeybee, the yellow jacket had eaten. It might have been a rattlesnake. Who knows?
Yeah, something didn't agree.
Well, thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And I'll have more. And if you want to call, 679-8224. That's Wintergreen Nursery out in Winston.
All righty. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.